The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Good morning. My name is Avril, and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. The church building may be closed, but the church community continues to gather to worship God together. Today we hear the good news that Jesus came so that we can have abundant life. Even in the midst of this lockdown, I hope that through the love of Christ, you can live abundantly. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. Today we celebrate God's love for us, love shown when he sent Jesus to us, the great shepherd of the flock who gave his life for his sheep. Christ, the Good Shepherd, has called us each by name and encircled our lives with his amazing grace. Let us worship God. Washing our hands has become amazingly important during this time of COVID. There have been YouTube videos of celebrities washing their hands and an app that matches images of the best way to wash your hands to the lyrics of particular songs. I use that app, and now when I wash my hands, I sing Elton John's I'm Still Standing to myself, to make sure that I wash my thumbs and my wrists and around my nails. I wonder if we'll ever go back to the quick, incomplete hand washing that we used to do, or whether this will be a permanent change. As I've mentioned before, we often have a prayer of confession near the beginning of the service so that we can clean our hearts and our minds, ready to worship God. Just as we've learned that we need to wash our hands thoroughly throughout the day, these prayers remind us that we also need to wash our hearts. As human beings, we stuff up, we make mistakes. Sometimes we deliberately hurt other people or the environment. And in these prayers of confession, we acknowledge all that. We're able to do this because we know that we are already forgiven. No matter what we have done, no matter how far we have strayed, God welcomes us back to the fold. So let us make our confession to God, cleansing our hearts as we have learned to cleanse our hands. Loving God, when we walk down the wrong paths to repeated mistakes and foolish lives, show us the right paths to take so that we can find you. When we would stir up troubled waters, giving in to anger, jealousy, and bitterness, lead us beside your still waters of peace and gentleness and kindness. When we are afraid of the darkness and the shadows, unable to face the future because it is so uncertain, remind us that darkness is not dark to you and that you are always with us. Loving God, remind us that your goodness and mercy are always with us, and that no matter what we do, no matter how far away we may travel, our true home is always with you. Amen. We were strangers, but now we are home. We were outcasts, but now we belong. We were chained, but now we are free. Therefore, I declare Christ's words of grace to us. Our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. We have three Bible readings today, two of which are very short. The first comes from the book of Acts, from chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The newly baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Second reading today is Psalm 23.
Lead.
gospel reading comes from the Gospel according to John, from chapter 10, starting at the first verse. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Today's picture book is called Mother Panya's Pancakes, and it's a village tale from Kenya, written by Mary and Rich Chamberlain and illustrated by Julia Cairns. Mama Panya sang as she kicked sand with her bare feet, dousing the breakfast fire. "Adika, hurry up," she called cheerfully. "Today we go to market." "Surprise, I'm one step ahead of you, Mama." Adika stood in the doorway, dressed in his finest shirt and cleanest shorts. "I'm ready." Now Mama Panya had to hurry. After storing her pots, gathering her bag, and slipping her feet into sandals, Mama Panya called, "I'm ready too, Adika. Where are you?" "Here I am, Mama, two steps ahead of you." He sat under the baobab tree, Mama Panya's walking stick in hand. "Why, yes you are." She accepted the stick and led them down the road. "What will you get at the market, Mama?" "Oh, a little bit and a little bit more." "Are you making pancakes today, Mama?" "You are a smart one. I guess I can't surprise you." "Yay! How many pancakes will you make?" Mama fingered two coins folded in the cloth tied around her waist. "A little bit and a little bit more." Rounding the corner, they saw Mze Odolo sitting by the river. "Habari za asubuhi?" Mama asked softly, so she wouldn't chase away the fish. Adika blurted out, "We're having pancakes tonight. Please come." "Adika," Mama whispered in his ear. Mze Odolo waved back, saying, "Asante sana, I'll be there." Mama quickened her pace. "We had to invite Mze," Adika said. "He's our oldest friend." "Hurry up, you're a few steps behind," Mama replied. "Look, Mama, it's Sawandi and Naaman." Adika's friends tapped long reeds against the thighs of their cattle, moving them along. "I'll just be a few steps ahead." "Wait, Adika," Mama called. Mama hadn't gone too far before he returned. "They'd be happy to come," Adika panted. Mama Panya frowned, thinking about the coins in her wrap. "Oh, how many people will that be?" "Let's see, Sawandi, Naaman, you, and me," Adika counted. "And Mze Odolo. That's only five." "Aye! How many pancakes do you think I can make today, son?" "I'm one step ahead of you, Mama. You'll have a little bit and a little bit more. That's enough." At the market, there were many buyers and sellers trading fruits, spices, and vegetables. Adika spotted his school friend Gamilla at her plantain stand. "Mama, pancakes are her favourite." "Now, now, don't you..." And before she could finish, he ran to greet her. Mama tried to catch up, arriving just in time to hear, "You will come, won't you?" "Of course," Gamilla replied. Mama shot a stare at Adika and quickly grabbed his hand, whisking him away. "Mama will be able to stretch the flower." "Aye, how much do you think I can stretch flowers, son?" Adika waved his hand in the air. "Oh, a little bit and a little bit more." At the flower stand, Mama said, "Adika, you sit here." After greeting Bibi and Bawana Zawena, Mama asked, "What can you give me for my money?" She offered the larger of the two coins to Bibi Zawena, who scooped up a cup of flour onto a piece of brown paper. Adika popped up. "Mama's making pancakes today. Can you come?" "Oh, how wonderful. I think we can give a little more for that coin." Bawana Zawena put a second cup onto the paper, then tied it up with string. "We'll see you later." Mama tucked the package into her bag. "Aye-yee-yee, you and I will be lucky to share half a pancake." "But Mama, we have a little bit and a little bit more." "Come, Adika, keep up with me. We may have just enough left for a small chili pepper."
"Leave it to me, Mama. I'll get a good one."
"No, Adika," she cried out. But he ran ahead to Rafiki Kaya's spice table. Mama got there just in time to hear, "Mama's making pancakes tonight. Can you come?"
"I'd love to," Kaya replied. She grabbed the coin from Mama's hand and replaced it with the plumpest pepper.
"That's just enough. Thank you for inviting me."
Mama just sighed. They headed home. "How many people did we invite for pancakes tonight?"
Adika, skipping two steps ahead, sang his reply. "All of our friends, Mama." Mama piled small twigs and sticks into the fire pit. Adika ran to fetch a pail of water. Mama crushed the chili pepper in the pot while Adika added some water. She stirred in all the flour, seeing there would be none to save. Mama poured a dollop into the oiled pan on the fire. Sawandi and Naaman were the first to arrive, shouting, "Hodi!" Adika called, "Karibu!" to welcome them. They carried two leather drinking gourds filled with milk and a small pail of butter.
"Mama Panya, we have extra from our cattle."
Mze Adolo came soon after. "Old Man River has given us three fish today." Gamilla arrived with a plantain bunch perched on her head. They go very well with pancakes. Bibi and Bawana Zawena brought a package filled with more flour and handed it to Adika.
"Store this away for later."
When Rafiki Kaya arrived, she brought handfuls of salt and cardamom spice, along with her thumb piano. And the feast began as they sat under the baobab tree to eat Mama Panya's pancakes. Afterward, Kaya played the thumb piano and Mze Ndolo sang slightly off key. Adika whispered with a gleam in his eyes and a smile on his face, "I know you will make pancakes again soon, Mama." She smiled. "Yes, Adika, you're one step ahead of me." The end. Today we have a tiny snippet from the book of Acts, one of Luke's summary passages that he puts throughout the books to summarise what's happening to the early church. This particular one comes after he tells us about Peter's preaching to the questioning crowds at Pentecost, when Peter told them that Jesus, whom they had crucified, was their Messiah and Lord. Peter was obviously an amazing and spirit-filled preacher because the crowd immediately responded by asking, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter told them to repent and be baptized, which they did. Then we come to the part of the story that we read today, the description of how these newly baptized Christians lived out their baptism. Luke reminds us here that Christianity is a matter of doing as much as it is of believing.
Christians believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And in everything we do, we live out our response to that belief. We see here again the standard church service when we're told that the new Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They did what we do when we come to church on Sunday, when we can come to church on Sunday. We learn about our faith through an encounter with the scriptures, which is the apostles' teaching. We become a community that supports and encourages each other in fellowship. We celebrate the Eucharist together, the breaking of bread. And we pray. We devote ourselves to the prayers, including the prayer that Jesus taught us. When we gather together to learn from the scriptures, when we have fellowship in community, when we celebrate communion, and when we pray together, we are part of the tradition that started with this first generation of Christians and has continued for almost 2,000 years. By doing this, we become the body of Christ. We can find in this very short description of the practices of Jesus' earliest followers categories and ways which we can use to examine our own practices as a worshipping congregation. Are we a community that learns from the apostles, shares fellowship, breaks bread together, and prays? Are we nourished by the scriptures? Do we read them, study them, hear them read and preached on? Are newcomers welcomed among us? Are existing members supported? Are strangers encouraged to join in? Are the sick and the housebound still connected to the rest of the community? Are we fed by the Eucharist? Is everyone welcome at the table at which Jesus is the host? Do we make sure that those who can no longer come to church, which at the moment is all of us, are still able to share in the bread and drink the wine? Do we pray for each other and for the world? Are there ways that those who want to learn more about prayer are able to? Do members of the congregation feel able to ask for prayer or to offer it to others? I only had a very little time with you before COVID-19 locked us all down, but I got the sense that the congregation's small groups, as well as its worship services, did offer these things. And now that we are in lockdown, I know that members of LAT have been working hard to ensure that pastoral care, that fellowship, is still offered through the congregation while we're physically separated. And my main job has been to provide the apostles' teaching, the prayers, and so far at least one attempt at breaking the bread via recordings. These are things that all of us can do. We can pray for and with each other. We can offer the fellowship of a phone call or an email, or even the extremely old-fashioned way of putting a card in a letterbox. There are lots of things we can't do in lockdown, but there are lots of things that we as Christians can continue to do. We can continue to follow the example of these early Christians. It's important to recognise that what the church does, what makes us the body of Christ, isn't limited to worshipping together. This passage has one of the most amazing descriptions of the church, something that I love. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. For the new disciples, becoming Christian had an immediate economic effect. The rich became less rich, the poor became less poor, and everyone had enough. Luke is probably exaggerating here. And later in Acts and in Paul's letters, we find people who obviously still have private means and who in fact use that to support Paul on his journeys and to support other churches. But there was still a sense that part of what it meant to be Christian was to be a community that cared and shared for it with each other. The theologian Justin Martyr wrote about Christian community a couple of centuries later. "We who once took most pleasure in accumulating wealth and property now share with everyone in need. We who hated and killed one another and would not associate with men of different tribes because of their different customs now, since the coming of Christ, live familiarly with them and pray for our enemies." And the theologian Tertullian wrote, "Our care for the derelict and our active love have become our distinctive sign before the enemy. See, they say, how they love one another and how ready they are to die for each other." Being Christian involved actively following in the footsteps of Christ, spiritually, emotionally, and economically. And this sense of community is our Christian heritage as well. We too are part of the tradition that Luke says led to Christians having the goodwill of all people. Christianity is not meant to be about financial guilt trips. If we read this about them selling their possessions and goods and distributing the proceeds and feel guilty, we're missing the point. But we can, again, use this description to examine our own practices. Do we use our money in such a way that it leads to the life in abundance that Jesus came to bring for us and for others? Do we give money to causes that bring health and hope to people in need? Do we buy things that have been produced in fair and sustainable ways? Do the many, many people involved in getting food to our tables, and I think during COVID-19 we're more and more aware of exactly how many people it takes before we are able to eat, do those people receive a living wage? And do we know how to find out the answers to these questions? The members of the early church, in their community and caring, with gladness and generosity, were living the lives of abundance that Jesus came to bring us. They were able to share everything with each other because of the joy they felt in their new life. And Jesus came to bring them that joy. This is what we too are invited to celebrate, today and every day, when we gather spiritually or physically as the body of Christ. We too are invited to live out this new way of life and to add our own experience to these 2,000 years of people seeking to follow Jesus. So today, as always, let us rejoice with glad and generous hearts, praising God, because God loves us and came to us in Christ. Amen. Let us pray our prayer for the time of COVID. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness that we will need in the weeks ahead. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those still working in the community through this crisis, all the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, and those who must find new ways of working from home. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, for whom self-isolation will be almost impossible, and for those whose homes are not safe places and who face domestic violence during this time. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton, and all those who must make the difficult decisions to keep us safe. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Final prayer comes from another of my huge collection of awesome children's books. This particular book is called A World of Prayers, and the prayers were selected by Jeremy Brooks and illustrated by Ellen Gomez. This prayer comes from Israel, and it seems to me both to go well with today's Bible reading and to be something that we might all pray every morning during this lockdown. Let us pray. Give me the strength to meet each day with quiet will. Give me the faith to know you are my shepherd still. Give me the light to find my way when shadows fall. Be my steady guiding star, Father of all. Amen.